What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you know, it was probably, let's see, this is 2024, so 17 years ago or so, I was actually covering Super Bowls with this guy, and now this guy is calling Super Bowls, and I'm here in New Jersey. And he's in California getting ready for his trip to New Orleans. He is Kevin Burkhart, lead play-by-play man for Fox Sports. What's up, KB? How are you?
How is that 17 years ago, Jer? I mean, what? Like, yeah. Where is time gone, my friend?
It just flies, man. Logan's, what was he, 20 years old now?
Oh, my God, yeah. Senior in high school. It's just, yeah, time goes. But those were good times, man, covering those games with you. And, yeah, here we are. So good to be back with you.
Yeah, very much. And by the way, maybe if we have time later, I'll tell the story. If not for Kevin, I might have been fired back in 2007 from a story in Miami. But if we have time, we'll get to that later. So I guess before we talk about the game a little bit, and I want to get your take since you were so tied to the Mets, too. I'll get your take on what's going on there, too. Just what is your week like? So you're still in California now, I imagine. When do you head out and how busy is the week for you?
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, doing my second Super Bowl, I'm a lot more confident in the whole process. I mean, I did this last time, too, you know, and got some good advice to do this. I treated the week like the game's tomorrow, right? Like, I treated this week and prepped for the game like I could do the game tomorrow. And then next week, you just kind of add on to your prep and, you know, just kind of tidy up things and make sure you're good because It's just busy. There's just a lot going on. There's a lot of responsibilities and appearances and things you got to do. And it goes so quick. And yet at the same time, it's just, you're just like, get me to Sunday. You know, it's hard to explain. So basically I do as much prep as I can this week. Like the game is essentially tomorrow. And then I just add on to it and, you know, just try to enjoy it. And really, you know, it's hard to wait. It's almost like Christmas morning as a kid, like, you know, come on, you know, is it December 25th? Yeah, you wake up and you want that Sunday to come. And then when Sunday comes, it's just so much fun. So I definitely feel better about my process doing it a second time than necessarily I did the first.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You sound like a lot like A.J. Brown, too, because he was talking about that. I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday. And as an announcer, you can't wait to get to the game. Could you imagine what it's like for these guys that got to deal with all this stuff, too, with the week in between, and then they just want to get to the game at 6 o'clock on Sunday?
Yeah, no, I can't. I mean, it's totally different, you know, in terms of, you know, prep, and then there still is all the other obligations they got to deal with, right? Like, you know, the media, you know, the Monday night thing is fun when they get to do that, and then by the end of the week, it's like, okay, like, we're kind of done with all this stuff and ready to play the game. So I think there really is something to it in just terms of pacing yourself and understanding the people that, you know, want to get a piece of you as players and things that you have to deal with that's real. You know, dealing, helping your family and friends get tickets and get situated. And there's just all this other stuff to worry about. I think very much so for these players going through it a second time and a third time and a fourth time for some of these Chiefs. Like, yeah, I think there is a comfort level there. And just being extra prepared and ready to go.
You know, it's kind of cool. Kevin Burkhardt with us, Fox Sports. He'll do the Super Bowl next week with the Chiefs and the Eagles. You've got two teams, and I know you guys obviously get the game of the week most weeks, aside from the first couple when the Cowboys were dreadful. And you've seen the Eagles a whole bunch, but you've got two teams that have been there, done that. The Chiefs more than the Eagles, but for the most part, this collection of Eagle team was just there a couple of years ago, too. You've seen them a lot this year. I think they're really good. I think they're going to win the game. When you watch them, were you surprised how well they played against Washington at all?
You know, I wasn't, because, you know, when they're right, I think they're really, really tough to beat. I mean, they've lost one game since the bye. They were 2-2, they went in the bye, and they lost one game, and that's when Jay Daniels threw 5 touchdowns, that crazy comeback in Washington. I think the reality is for them is, look, they got the number one defense in the league. Their defense is totally different than it was 2 years ago in that Super Bowl to Kansas City. They basically retooled the entire defense, and, you know, Vic Fangio's done an amazing job. Obviously, their run game, they were very good that year. They're better this year with Saquon. Bottom line is, when they don't turn it over and when Jalen Hurts is in rhythm like he was on Sunday, like he's been in some of these games down the stretch, they're really, really tough. I don't know where the weakness is. Usually, though, the one thing is, you know, for them, I think going into this game, it's as simple as if Kansas City's within a score and Patrick Mahomes has the ball in the end, I haven't seen him stop yet. That's really what it comes down to, right? So I think the Eagles are just staying on them. I think they're a much better team than they were 2 years ago when they were in this game. And they were obviously great then. They were the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, and Barkley has been, I mean, I knew he was going to be good there, but my God, he has been a machine. You watched him with the Giants a little bit. I know they were never very good, so I don't even know if you did any Giant games, but he's different. I know he's healthy, he's right, but with that offensive line, to me, if I'm a Chief fan, I'm trying to figure out how my defense is going to slow him down first. And then if you do that, like you said, they're so good with the passing game if they have to be. They're just, I don't know, they just seem like a well-oiled machine to me, and if they don't win this year, I really would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's going to take everything to knock off Kansas City, and Spags is so good at finding the little nuance, right? But I knew that Saquon of the Eagles would be a good fit with their offensive line. Did I know he was going to do that? I mean, this has been incredible. I mean, I think there's so many superlatives there, Jer, but, I mean, every game is a 60-yard touchdown run waiting to happen. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's fascinating to watch. It's like, and so I think that's the biggest thing. You can clamp down on him for a half. You could, you know, 2 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, 70 yards, touchdown. I mean, it's just, it's wild. It's, you know, it's like pitching Aaron Judge. Okay, you know, walk, strike out, walk, gone. It's, yeah. So I think that's the element that he brings. You know, Tom said something really interesting on the broadcast last week, and I don't remember the exact quote, but he just said, you know, it's so fascinating to me because when you watch Philly, you know, you think of explosive teams, and you always think of explosive teams through the pass game. He's like, they don't even have to pass to be an explosive team. And he's like, there's not many teams that can say that. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to look at it, is they could just hand off and be, you know, and deadly at any time, any point.
Yeah, he has been unbelievable. Kevin Burkhardt with us. He'll call the Eagles and Chiefs Super Bowl 59 next week on Fox. Take me back to, so I saw you in Tampa for the Bucs-Niners game, and the one thing that I took from walking out of that stadium was listening to the fans and their disgust with Todd Bowles and the fact that they didn't win that game. And I mentioned it from this reason. When you're walking out of Detroit a few weeks ago, how obvious, stupid question, was the level of disappointment from the Lions fans that had waited so long for what really looked like the year and for it to end the way it did?
You know, it was kind of sad, to be honest, because it's such a great fan base, and like everywhere in town, like that's, I mean, you know, it was everywhere. And these, you know, because you look at the trajectory, right? Obviously last year they climbed the mountain by finally winning a playoff game, and that was a revelation. And then they get to the championship game and they, you know, had a great opportunity, as we know, to go to the Super Bowl. But being in this position as the number one seed for the first time ever, and like really being the favorite for the first time in their history, everyone was just buzzing and feeling great. Why wouldn't you, with the season they had? And it was just kind of stunned sadness walking out of there. I mean, look, we knew that Washington was good, and that's the thing. There's a combination to me in that game of finally the injuries caught up to Detroit because they just didn't have the defensive firepower to hang. And that, and James Daniels was amazing in that game. I mean, they blitzed him a million times, and he beat it every single time. And so I think it was one of those things, the injuries finally got them, and Daniels was just magnificent. It was just a bad combo that night.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you this, as you're mentioning Jaden Daniels, who I was going to get to, if you're the Cowboys or the Giants, think about, and I know things change and guys leave and free agency is different, but you're looking up at two teams right now that don't have many weaknesses and I think are going to be good for a long time. That could end up being a beast of a division.
Well, yeah, it kind of reminds me of the possibility of the old NFC East, right? Like, getting back to those days when every game was so, so tough. And I mean, that was a lot of fun. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see the Giants kind of get back off the mat and, you know, get in that mix. And for the Cowboys, you know, it's an interesting offseason. I mean, look, they've won 12 games 3 years in a row, Jerry, obviously, you know, and then failed in the playoffs. And this year was kind of wasn't going great to begin with. And then Dak gets hurt and, you know, defense was really took a step back after Dan Quinn left. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do this offseason, try and get back in the mix. They still have very good personnel. They obviously have to add on. And for all the criticism they got about, you know, hiring Shoddy, I think you got to give them credit in this instance is that, you know, they wanted continuity. And you look around the league, it's so hard for some of these teams to just consistently lose offensive play callers. You know, good offensive play callers get hired as head coaches, and to do that and change your system all the time. So I give them credit for trying to have the continuity with your quarterback and your big playmakers to, you know, keep that consistency. Because the reality is when Dak's been healthy, they've been a good offensive team. And I know they were a little wishy-washy early in the year before he got hurt. But generally when he's healthy, you know, in this time, whether it was Kellen Moore or Mike McCarthy, and Schottenheimer obviously was there the last few years, they've been good. So I think they're trying to keep the continuity there in a league where if you're, you know, you've got a good offensive coordinator, you lose him, and then you don't have continuity. I mean, just ask Baker Mayfield. So we'll see. But they definitely have work to do. There's no doubt about it.
I think, Kevin Burkhardt, with us a couple more minutes, the one thing that I can't get over, though, because you're right, the 12 wins, all of that, as a quote-unquote fan, pregame, postgame host, Compass Media Networks, all that, you love these guys, you talk to them. I still can't figure out what we saw in the playoffs last year against Green Bay, and you were there, you saw it. What a mess that game was. And that hurt Mike McCarthy in a big way, which is, I think, one of the reasons he's not back, personally.
Yeah, that game surprised me, too. I did not see that coming, even though Green Bay, the second half of the year, was really, really good. But I did, we talked about them winning the game. I certainly didn't see them blowing them out the way they did, but it was just a culmination of events. They got off to a hot start, got a couple of interceptions, turned it into a score. And I agree, right? That was, you know, I think that lingering taste from that playoff game, and then the offseason, they didn't make any moves whatsoever. And then they got off to a slow start with a new defensive coordinator, who's obviously one of the great coordinators in the league, but what he's done in his resume. But it took time to gel under his system, and by the time they woke up, Dak Prescott was hurt, and they were underwater, and it was over.
No question. All right, I can't let you go without asking you just a couple of things about the Mets, only because a bunch of people on social media are asking me. They want to know what Burkhardt thinks. So they got Juan Soto. There's a lot of great feeling there. I know you're out west now, but I'm sure you still keep up on the Mets with all your work with Major League Baseball. Well, like what? And from where you are sitting, what should they do? What would you do if you were running this team with Pete Alonso?
Well, it's a hard call. I think, like, the reality is they didn't want to get stiff-armed into a bad contract for a 30-year-old first baseman, right? I mean, that is simply the bottom line, no matter how good Pete has been. I think if you're just looking at baseball, if you take away the fandom and how much he's loved in New York, he would look pretty good hitting behind Juan Soto. I mean, I think that's for sure, and it really lengthens the lineup, you know, with keeping Vientos at third or however you want to play it. I think it definitely helps their lineup, but I think they're just looking at long-term flexibility where, okay, we don't want to get into a situation where we're tied up in a bad contract. to an older first baseman. And they have a plan where they could move Vientos or Beatty over there and keep the other one on the other side of the field. Will it be as productive as Pete? I mean, that's hard to do with all the home runs he hits. But, I think the reality is, too, the conversation may have been a little bit easier for Mets fans if he didn't have so many clutch hits in the playoffs this year. So it's a tough one. You're talking about one of the fan favorites who's been a really, really good Met and which fit well with this lineup. But I do understand why the Mets don't want to lock into a long-term deal. I think they're just going to let the market sit, see where he comes down to. And you know what? If it works out where they can get him at their price, they'll go get him. But it's a tough call, but I understand what they're doing. You know, I do. You know, trying to get a little younger on those corners and maybe a little bit more athletic.
It's one of those things. You turn that deal they offered him last year. He's got to be pinching himself for that. He just has to be beating himself, I would think, anyway. Last one. Do you get any? So you'll have this week. The game's over. You get a little bit of a break before you do what exactly? You don't do any college basketball for Fox, do you?
No, I don't do that anymore. After this, I'll get a little R&R for a while until baseball season comes. So I will throw my phone in the ocean, hopefully, and then pick it up in March 29th or whatever the date is when opening day starts. So yeah, it'll get a little break and get to kind of take in the season and drinking in a little bit and then get ready for baseball, man. It comes quick, you know it.
Yeah, no, these seasons just kind of roll right into one another now. So, listen, I really appreciate you getting up early out there. I know you've got a lot going on. Much appreciated. Enjoy the week, and we'll be watching next week.
You're the best, Rex. Be well. Good talking to you, and enjoy the game, all right?
Thanks, Kev. Kevin Burkhart, Fox Sports lead announcer, who will do the Super Bowl next week with Tom Brady. Of course, everybody around here knows him quite well, this time with The Fan, of course, and SNY with the Mets. Kevin Burkhart right here on The Fan.